might develop a Lori Imicus laugh here. Anyway, thank you all for joining me this morning. This is our morning Sunday morning service. And so I am the minister today. This is Barbara Derwater. And so I'm welcoming everybody to the room. Right on. Groovy. Oh, my gosh. So the first thing we do here is that we treat this kind of like a regular church, like we were, you know, sitting in a church together and you're sitting in the pew next to someone else. And so I will play a song while everyone has an opportunity to greet each other. So in order to do this, I have to get out of the mic and get into stereo mix. So just there's that little interchange here. So just a moment. There we go. Yes, yes. Oh, Lynn, Regine is my admin. Thank you. Thank you. Just to let you know. Great. Wonderful to have everybody here this morning. The next item on the agenda is the statement of purpose. Yes, very important. Purpose and values. Our purpose is, and what a wonderful purpose it is. It is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. One truth. And the core values, we have five core values. And if Gina would like, she could post the, or Lynn, post the link to the purpose and core values so that people that are new in the room might be able to see that. That would be great. I didn't come in as an admin this morning. I tend to, my computer tends to lock me out sometimes when I'm in as an admin too long. So the one I was looking at as far as our core values is number, I could look at all of them and say all of them, but let's just say today that number four, we affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. No spiritual doctrine is truth, absolutely. So I have some announcements here, if I can find them. There we go. This is for... some announcements, and the first one is, of course, you know that Regina will be on a retreat in Baja from March 1st through 7th, and if she would like to post the link for that for the people in the room. And I understand from that it's kind of like an all-in-one package. Beautiful weather, wonderful speakers, including Jennifer Hadley. I think Gary Bernard is going to be there. Regina will be there. You can see all of the people that will be there if you go to that link, the events link, awakening-together.org, and then you look under the events link, and then it will show you that event, and you can check it out. And that would be, Regina saying in the room. There's also going to be David Hoffmeister, John Mundy, and Maria Felipe. So that's a wonderful thing coming up. And Jennifer Hadley, Gary Renard, of course, yes, and our own Regina, Don Akers. And so that's March 1st through 7th, so we're getting closer to that time. I don't know what the deadline is for signing up for it, but you might want to check that out. Okay, the second thing on the list is the class. Georgina doesn't know the deadline either. Okay, so. But do remember, when you register for that, if you decide you want to go, go and give credit to Awakening Together when you do that. So that's where you heard about the retreat as at Awakening Together. That's really important for us. The second announcement is classes. Classes. The Bhagavad Gita is going to be starting in February. There are two classes to choose from. Tuesday evening from 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time with Jay McCormick. Or Wednesday morning from 10 to noon Eastern Time with Nikki Dobson. It's a three-week class. It's $60 for a three-week class. So registrations will be accepted until February 3rd, which is, I want to say, a week from Wednesday or Tuesday, something like that. So wonderful class, good teachers. Probably looking at the time frame, it might be better for people on the in the middle of the states or on the East Coast, because that's 4:30 on the Western time. And if you're working, on Pacific time, if you're working, that might be a little bit early, depending on your schedule. So those are wonderful classes coming up. The third thing I should say well, second thing. Oh, no, third. It's the Retreat Center campaign. Now, I'm on a fundraising committee, subcommittee, and we have put together a website, a Facebook page, which is the Awakening Together, I think it's called Retreat Center fundraising campaign. Yeah, so that, yeah, that is been set up. We have like 59 plus likes. Wonderful, wonderful. So you guys check it out. That is where we're going to have a kind of like an ongoing conversation with those interested. And another thing is, remember that we're coming up to our tax season. This is a really great time to donate to the campaign because, you know, you get a tax refund. You could consider, you know, giving all or part of your tax refund to this ongoing fundraising campaign. And you can check that awakening-together.org /donate. And then there's a Retreat Center link in there. Check that out. Wonderful. Okay, so those are those are the announcements for today. I would highly check out the Facebook page, and we're just getting started. We're just getting started. We do have, of course, the website page too. So please do consider. This is the time of year where this is something we can be looking at as a way to help out ourselves. Okay? So I am going to play a song kind of to set the mood. So I will play that right now. And then we are going to have time of silence, and then I'm going to have an inspirational reading. So just a moment, and I'll play our second song for the morning. Oh, just before I say that, Regina told us that several hundred dollars just came in this weekend for the campaign. I did want to say before I play the music that we still need to keep Awakening Together going as it is. So we ask that people still continue to contribute to Awakening Together to keep it going as an operational budget here. So it's important to look at that as well. Okay, I'll play music now. Okay. All things must pass. So I thought we'd have a moment of silence here. And after that, our very own Dolores Mavens. I'm not sure if I remember how to say her total last name. But she was on here the other week and couldn't read because there was something wrong with her speak with her mic or computer. So I thought I would let her do it this today. So she's going to be reading from Jan Fraser's new book, Freedom of Being at Ease with What Is. So before we go there, why don't we take a moment of silence and just kind of prepare the ground to listen to preparing the ground. Okay, so let's turn this over to, and I've been corrected, Dolores Mavens. She's going to read the chapter from Jan Fraser's new book, and the chapter is called Preparing the Ground. So, and I've just been told that Jan Fraser is going to be one of the retreat leaders. Thank you, Regina. Wonderful lady. So I'm going to turn over the mic here to Dolores. This is a longer reading, but I thought a part of it would not do. It needed to be the whole chapter. So I'm turning the mic over to Dolores, and thank you so much, Dolores, for this. I appreciate this.
Say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. That was my granddaughter, Kira. I'm watching her this morning. But thank you, Barb, for asking me to do it. It's an honor and it's a pleasure, and I'm grateful to be able to do it. And as Barb said, I'm going to be reading from Jan Fraser. The chapter is Preparing the Ground. How does the longing to awaken express itself? The desire sits in the body, in the heart, and wants to take form. It might blossom into the idea of evolution, a destination, a journey. But all of that assumes time exists. There's another way the longing to awaken can take form. It's the idea of preparing the ground. What is it to prepare the ground? It's to till the earth that is yourself. To present to life a yielding surface, not an impenetrable shield, is to do this right now and again now, so that if the rain surprises you this moment, or this one, it will be taken in. The focus is not on tomorrow, but on the present. When you're preparing the ground, you've forgotten about the idea of maybe someday. You are not in charge of whether that rain falls. On the long list of things that cannot be known or controlled is the matter of whether or when the final thing will happen to rinse the dust from your eyes. But you can decline to score points for the other side. You can let go of rigidity. You can opt not to tighten against this moment, instead flooding it with presence. Not to say you do this as a means to an end. Preparing the ground must be an end in itself. It's done for its own sake. The rest must take care of itself if it will. If it will not, and you've been cultivating presence for its own sake, then you'll hardly notice whether awakening ever comes to stay. Oddly, you may find that the closer you get to awakeness, the less obsessed with it you are. When the orientation to your life distills down to this moment, when you're more truly content with life as it unfolds, you've come to where it's not so much on your mind, the question of whether you'll ever wake all the way up. Not because you've met with despair along the road to awakening and have thrown up your hands, but because when you take your eyes from some possible future and let them settle on where you are now, then the idea of having some place to go, some condition to attain, is seen to be just that, an idea, a thought. This moment is entirely captivating of attention. When you're less focused on doing better and more accepting of the truth of where you are, you can fall out of love with the dream of tomorrow. How could there be someplace else to be but this, here? The concept of future attainment becomes nonsensical once you really get this is all that's real. Isn't that what the whole thing's about? What better way to prepare the ground than to be alive in the present? What could be a more fertile field for transformation? This is something you really can do. Feeling yourself in the act of being makes you available to awakening like nothing you could dream of. Who would awakening come to if not one who's awake to this moment? See how the questions become silly when this moment is all there is ever, The question, will I ever wake up? Laugh it off. Lift your face to the sky. What if it were to rain? The difference between trying to awaken and preparing the ground is the difference between strained mental emotional effort and steady unflinching presence. Trying to wake up is hard. Wheel spinning mostly, hiding from yourself. It puts you in your head where you scrutinize your every move, where you rain judgment on yourself, where you struggle to change yourself and are forced to see your back where you were before. It's because all of this that the spiritual journey is arduous and exhausting and largely unproductive. Preparing the ground conjures a delightful calm, an alert receptivity, which is very different from a determined mission to transform yourself to reach a goal. Let go of all that in favor of the simple, radical gesture of being here. Keep awareness on your interior. Feel what you feel, that original response to a thing. Feel life living itself through you. The gong reverberating deep in each moment. Be that. Yield to the force of that to whatever life delivers. Be conscious, unresisting, in devoted attendance on what's here within you and without. Preparing the ground is about what you allow to be primary in your moment-to-moment existence. It's letting attention be front and center always. There is something you can do, but it isn't doing so much as being. The thing you want, which is to be awake, is to be gotten to by being awake to this moment. The longed-for thing is attained by doing, by being the longed-for thing. A person might want it to be more complicated than that, but it isn't. Preparing the ground is allowing as how you don't know much of anything. It's declining to stick to you. It's about defending against nothing, about yielding, letting in the sun and the rain, the wind and the hail, the scorching heat. If attachment is happening, see it. If resistance is happening, see it. If identification is happening, see it. If fear, if grasping, if taking refuge in belief, see it. Don't look away. Be soft, present, ceaselessly looking at what's happening right now to keep going the impression of there being a prison gate with a lock on it. Do not go looking for an experience, some intensity, or great moment of insight. Do not compare this moment with any other. The you that existed then is not the you that exists now. every exhale, let the exhaling cease to be. Feel the newly assembling presence come in on the new breath. Feel life give birth to itself again and again in the ever-renewing awareness. Be transparent, the moment passing through you and through you and you through it. Feel yourself being the moment. If something is uncomfortable, open your arms to it. Don't grab onto it. It doesn't need to cling if you don't hold on to it. Never think the content of the moment must be grand or peaceful or uplifting. What moment is not here? What now is not fit to be the one that brings the great blessing? Do you think washing your hands couldn't be it? Jacking up your car, cleaning up broken glass, hanging your head over a toilet? How many moments do you suppose there will be in this day and what remains of your life? But this one, it's the one you have, the you are. Tend to it. Letting go of the mic.
Thank you, Dolores. Wasn't that wonderful? I just, when I read this, it brings tears to my eyes. I mean, just, I feel every moment, you know, it's just, every moment is this moment. Jen expresses this, you know, the whole concept of awakening together is every faith, everywhere. you know, this is what she's teaching. It's not to have a definition. It's not to have a definition on what this awakening is. And it's not to have a goal in mind. Not to have this goal, I want to awaken. I mean, I have felt that. You know, one of the things I had asked for recently was, you know, a request that Adi Ashanti mentioned, which was, bring me what I need to awaken. And looking at that now, I would say that may be something that I would say and then let it go. And let it go. Not to cling to it. I typed this up for Dolores, this chapter up for Dolores. She didn't have the book. And so I've been going through this and looking at it and underlining different parts of it. And I feel very strongly that this is something that we are all doing in our way. And if we start, like she says, not to compare this moment with the next, it's like the whole book could be this particular chapter, although the rest of the book is wonderful too. So it's not about making a book an idol here, but it's about the expression of the openness to just be with what is. She says, open your arms, don't cling. She says, if something's uncomfortable, open your arms to it. Don't grab onto it. It doesn't need to cling to you if you don't hold on to it. And I had a very uncomfortable time last weekend with a lot of stories my mind was making up. Because one of my big learning lessons has been work. And I made this determination. I'm not going to run away this time. I've always been a person that runs away. Not always. I wouldn't say always. But often I've run away from difficult situations because I didn't want to face them. And here we are. If something's uncomfortable, open my arms to it. I just said, you know what? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be here. There's a lesson here for me. I don't know what it is. It doesn't mean I have to stay in a situation if it's time to go, but it's time to turn around and face the fear, face the anxiety, the guilt, all of those feelings, to face those. Rest in the now and just face them without any kind of anticipation of what the future will look like. In her book, she mentions to let go of the belief in the future, in the future, and that's what she's saying here. Regina is saying she speaks clearly, pointing towards truth, and we love it because we recognize it. Absolutely. I mean, to me, of course, Jan is a writer. She teaches writers, so she has very good writing skills to express herself. But the thing that I'm learning as I'm going through this path is, and I can only talk from my perspective, but when she says, you know, the difference between trying to awaken and preparing the ground is the difference between strained mental emotional effort and steady unflinching presence. It's that steady unflinching presence that's important, to be looking at what is primary, which is the focus and the attention on what is happening in the inner self, watching the thoughts that I have. I will get caught up, and then I'll, you know, shortly thereafter I'll realize, I got caught up again. Just keep going back. Keep looking. And realizing that this moment is all really we have. She says here, it's about defending against nothing. About yielding. I love the word yield. It's soft. It means that I'm just letting it be without resisting. There's something just to me very, very restful about yielding like that. And then look at any time that I'm in fear, where I'm starting to think about a future, where I'm starting to plan. That's my big one. Plan, identification, you know. Oh, I'm an attorney, so I'm identified with being an attorney. You know, that stuff is just made up. You know, she talks about the invented self. And I actually was looking for some other, and I'll get back to Jan, but some other readings I was looking at. And one of them was from the Tao Te Ching. We have a wonderful, in the Awakening Together website, there is an inspiration, I think it's under inspiration, but we have free ebooks. And on one of them is the Tao Te Ching. And I liked this one. It's number 48. Number 48 of the Tao Te Ching says, in pursuit of knowledge, every day something is added. In the presence of the Tao, every day something is dropped. Less and less do you need to force things, until finally you arrive at non-action. When nothing is done, nothing is left undone. True mastery can be gained by letting things go their own way. It can't be gained by interfering. And see, this is what Jan is talking about. Not interfering with what is. And you drop. And you yield. And you don't try to figure it out anymore. I'm even getting to the point where I'm not even journaling much anymore, because I'm just looking inside. Yeah, so I found this Tao Te Ching very helpful as kind of like supporting what I was talking about. I also was looking at, yeah, I like Kathy writes, not pushing the pendulum, just letting it just go back and forth as it would. There's a section of NTI where in Matthew 22 it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. And it says here, and this is in 1 to 10, actually it's page 45 of the book, and it's the beginning part, 1 to 10, and it's verses 9 through 12. It says, some may seem to have a long journey to the wedding banquet with many distractions along the way. Others may seem to live closer and arrive quickly after hearing the call to come. The length of the journey is not important. The journey itself, or what seems to happen along its way, matters not. same thing. You know, we're talking about the journey. And there's one part just a little bit later, I underlined it. It says here, be happy and rest your mind. I am walking beside you, pleased as we journey to the wedding banquet together. So it is like it is the wedding banquet, but we don't have to focus on the end result as you would normally think of. You know, I've got this goal in mind, and the goal is that I awaken. And this is just saying, you know, just be here now. There's a little later part of the book where she says, well, what if it, you know, while along the way, you're just, you forget, oh, I want to awaken. And then one day you wake up, and there you are. So it's not about focusing on some end place, because that's a future thought. It's about just being here and living this moment now. It's like Jan says, the longed-for thing is attained by doing, by being the longed-for thing. The simplicity of that. You know, it says in Course in Miracles, the simplicity of salvation. It's not complicated. Only my thinking makes it so, right? And I like the way she says, it's declining, preparing the ground is declining to let what's happening stick to you. So this is why you start to watch your thinking mind more and more. The invention, the invented thoughts that come up for me, the inventions, I can see them. I can not think further. Once I get to a point of thinking about something, I can look at it and say, that's just a thought. Let it go. You know, and it's all the practice that we do. And along the way, is what she's saying, along the way you do become more peaceful. Things will still happen. Bills will still need to be paid. But while I focus on that interior as much as I can, then things will pass through me and they won't stick to me anymore. Like Michael Singer talks about this too. Yeah, and as Kathy says in the room, what if the ego were only a thought in your own head? Well, she has another part of the book where she talks about, you know, the layers of thinking that make the ego and all that. I don't want to get into it now because I can't remember what she says, but it's something like that, and it's just an invention. And, you know, I was listening to Ken Wapnick the other day on in Audible, on Living the Course in Miracles, and it can be very, it can seem sometimes to be very complicated, all the machinations that the thinking mind comes up with. But when you nail it down to that one moment, which is now, all of that stuff goes away. Just nail it down. The problem comes for me is when I want to expand beyond the current moment and I want to start getting a whole canvas going. I want to paint a whole picture. That's when the problem comes in, and that's when I can often feel overwhelmed with everything. But if I take the little bite, which is just right now, I can do anything right now in this moment, including coming up with things to talk about right now. I don't prepare for these, so I the only preparation was to get the reading, to kind of take in what she's talking about. And I'm reading her book the second time right now. But she does talk about keeping your awareness on your interior. So I have this, you know, some people here know I have this client now where I'm sitting in a chair for 6 hours a day signing documents. And I'm just, you know, signing, doing my thing inside my mind. What comes to me often is, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? If I have a mantra at all at this moment, it is, what is my purpose? So, what is that purpose? To keep asking myself. It may seem like I'm there signing things. What is my purpose, really? So if I am not in the point in the focus of doing, but in the focus of being, it just, everything else drops away. All the planning, the relationships, the health conditions, the finances, the relationships, as I said before, all that, they fall away, and all I have is this present moment now. That's all there is. What else can there be? I understand today's ACIM lesson starts with purpose as meaning. What can I do and how can I live my life but here, right here, right now? I'm reminded. She talks about, Jan talks about preparing the ground conjures a delightful calm and alert receptivity, which is very different from a determined mission to transform yourself to reach a goal. And so, delightful calm, because I'm not interfering with what is. Eckhart Tolle talks about that too. In his book, Stillness Speaks, under the acceptance and surrender section, he says, when you completely accept this moment, when you no longer argue with what is, the compulsion to think lessens and is replaced by an alert stillness. You are fully conscious, yet the mind is not labeling the moment in any way. The state of inner non-resistance opens you up to the unconditioned consciousness that is ultimate, that is infinitely greater than the human mind. This vast intelligence can then express itself through you and assist you both from within and from without. This is why, by letting go of inner resistance, you often find the circumstances change for the better. Excuse me. I have notes. Excuse me. Notes under this where it says, where I wrote to myself, resistance seems to be my default state. When I focus on awareness, when I watch awareness, I am not focusing on resistance and I am being with the moment. That was what I wrote after that. Focusing on awareness allows me to be in this present moment in a much easier way and allows me to be alert to what is. So it's an alert stillness, and she says that too, that alert, calm, receptivity, relaxed but alert, which to me doesn't say tenseness, doesn't say anxiety, doesn't say planning, it just says alert receptivity. And it isn't something that you strive for either. So the whole striving thing has just been my modus operandi for all my life. Has always been about striving. And striving, when I look at it now, is a future thing. It's a future-based thing. To strive for something is something that will be in the future. But all we really, 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 really have is the now, now, now. As Jan would say, the now, and the now, and the now. And so that's because of that, I don't have to think or plan. When am I going to wake up? Will it ever happen? As she says, the question, will I ever wake up? Laugh it off. Because all we can do now is prepare the ground. And the most meaningful thing we can do for ourselves in this process is to just be here now, to prepare the ground. I mean, what else is there? I mean, you ask yourself, what else is there but to live here now? To just be focused on now, which allows me to focus on also listening to my body. When I do the Adyashanti meditation, the first thing he says is to focus on your body. Be grounded. Focusing, you know, most of it, my life, if I've done meditation, has been just on my mind, you know, the head. But focusing on the whole body, being present with the whole body, being present when you hear the birds sing out the window. I was driving to the client place the other day, and there's a stream nearby, and it's got tons of Canadian geese that don't migrate. Someone's feeding them, I think. But you know, just to stand there for a moment and look at these geese just floating down the stream, or the ducks. There's ducks there too. They just float, and just watch them, and they're just being present with the moment. And just here now, you know, just looking and pausing for a moment to look around. And what is here that is around me right now? You know, one of the things, I'm not the most tidy person, so I'm looking at my desk right now and thinking, and my ego mind is thinking, oh, I've got to clean this desk up. But maybe it's just that this is just perfect right now with all these cards all over the place. You know, when I think that, you know, I will have a thought, oh, I do need to do this. And then I'll stop and I'll say, you know, where am I at right now? And it's like I center with the heart. If I can center in the heart, then everything else falls away. The things I think I need to do, and some of those things I think I need to do are people-pleasing things. And so, just watching that be, watching that reaction. Jan talks here about if attachment is happening, see it. Okay, I'm gonna move the mic here a little bit. Here we go. I'm gonna move it. There we go. Okay. if attachment is happening, see it. If resistance is happening, see it. If identification is happening, see it. If fear, if grasping, if taking refuge in belief, see it. Yes, see it. It doesn't mean I have to, you know, try to strain to stop this seeming happening, but I can watch it. That is such an important step, to watch it. Yeah, see it, not being lost in it, not fighting it. Just see it. Don't try to push it away. I've always tried to, like, push the thought away. Oh, some disaster. Push the thought away. Disaster will happen. Not to let that. Just to watch the thought. And so last weekend, when I was going through my own little mini meltdown here in the room, and some people heard, but it was like I wanted to not resist this process. If I was going to invent some stuff, I'm going to watch that invention in action. I'm going to see it. I'm not going to resist that. It's like she says here, you open your arms, but you don't grasp. Just see it. And all these little steps are preparing the ground. And what happens along the way? I can breathe easier. I'm more at peace. I don't have to obsess on my thoughts like I used to. And everything is the interpretation that is upsetting us, not the fact of what seems to be happening, but what we think about that. That's where, you know, we can just watch. And it does take effort to watch, to see. Because we have to be alert to our interior while we're doing that. And so that is what I am focusing on, is to watch this interior as it unfolds. As she says here, preparing the ground is what you allow to be primary in your moment-to-moment existence. Primary. The interior that I'm watching. You know, all I can do is be here now and watch that interior as it unfolds, preparing the ground all along the way. Yeah. And I'm going to end with that last thing she says. She says, how many moments do you suppose there will be in this day, in what remains of your life? But this one, it's the one you have. The you are. Tend it. Okay, and with that, I'm going to play a song, allow us to contemplate preparing the ground. And if during that song, if Regina could post a link to the donate on the Awakening Together website, that would be great. So I'm going to go and play a song right now. Thank you for joining me.
What a blessed life. What a lucky find. The ending of the search, stopping of my mind. Falling into love. is the chase. Dying into life.
Okay, what a beautiful song. So we have a time now for anyone who would like to share on this preparing the ground that I spoke about. Kind of came up for anyone here in the room. thank you, Dolores. Wonderful reading. So we have about maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if anybody would like to share on this, maybe from their own experience. Regina has her hand up, so I'm going to let go of the mic. Thank you.
Good morning, Barbara and everyone. Happy Sunday. It was an absolutely beautiful reading. I like to hold things while I'm listening or while I'm meditating. There's something about having something in my hand. So I'm setting Sea of Galilee. And as you were reading, Dolores, and as you were speaking, Barbara, I was looking at the rock in my hands, turning it over in my hands. But I was practicing Jan Fraser's teaching. I was practicing being aware of awareness while watching. You know, one thing that I've learned is that my attention could go, you know, I'm going to call it fully into the listening, or it could go fully into the watching, or it could go fully into mind wandering, or there's this space where I can hold my attention. Where it's not in any of those. The listening is still happening. The watching is still happening. The thoughts are still running. But somehow my attention is on this space. And that space, I think, is what people call awareness, watching awareness. But I've noticed that I can hold my attention on that space. Yeah, that's the what is primary, exactly. And that's also, you know, what I believe Jan Fraser was talking about when she called it, you know, preparing the ground. You know, I love that line. I don't remember it exactly. I could scroll up and find it because I quoted it. But I love that line about, let me see, hold on one moment. I will find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. What moment is not fit to bring the grand blessing? God, I love that line. What moment is not fit to bring the grand blessing? You know, I remember like in the Muji story, when Muji talks about his realization. Do you know what his moment was like? He was angry, very, very angry. And he had gone to see Papaji, and he had pinned all of his hopes, you know, looking into the future, he had pinned all of his hopes on Papaji. He was going to go to Papaji as the really sincere student, which I can understand because that really sincere student is here also. So he was going to go to Papaji as the really sincere student. He had this letter. He wrote his heart out, and Papaji was reading the letter, and he was kneeling in front of him, and he was just, you know, he was just so pinned on that moment. And Papaji read his letter and then kind of made fun of him, actually, and said something about there was too much I in the letter. And Muji just, you know, all of his expectations were destroyed. He was pissed. He saw Papaji as, you know, not what he thought Papaji was. He was going to leave. He ran back to wherever his room was. He was angry. He was packing. And that's when it happened. You know, You know, I love that line that, you know, that says, you know, again, scrolling back up, what moment is not fit to bring the grand blessing? I love that line. And I agree with Jan Fraser that the more that I learn to bring my attentiveness, and I'm going to call it my welcome to this moment, so that if what's here right now is anger, or what's here right now is jealousy, or what's here right now is peace, or what's here right now is love, it's all equally welcome. You know, like Rumi's The Guest House. Some of you all are familiar with his poem, The Guest House. Thank you for writing that, Nancy, so I don't have to keep scrolling back up. Yeah, what moment is not fit to bring the grand blessing? You know, that's a wonderful, wonderful thought to hold in the mind. Maybe if there was no other thought that we took from this teaching today, although there were plenty of great thoughts, that one is enough, because that one might help us to just stay with and in acceptance of now, right? Yeah, hanging your head over a toilet. I haven't heard of anybody awakening while vomiting, but I bet you it can happen. And of course, you know, so our trick is not to judge, not to be closed, not to resist, but to be open, to allow, to be as present as possible, and not to even judge those moments when we're not as present as possible, right? And I was just very inspired by today's teaching. As you know, a few days ago I wrote to you. I didn't know you were going to teach from this today, but I did write to you a few days ago, and I asked you for the name of that book, and I have ordered it. It should probably be here tomorrow on Monday. And, you know, I wanted to read this book, Barb, and the reason, you know, there are two things that made me want to read it. One was, of course, I interviewed Jan Fraser in October for the Awakening Together Satsang, and when I finish speaking, I'll post that link for anybody who wants to listen to it. And, you know, just hearing her talk then kind of introduce the idea of reading that book. But then, to be honest, Barb, it's you speaking about it. I've heard you comment on that book time and time again, and each time you comment on it, it kind of drills in me a little deeper that that's a book I would really enjoy reading. And then we did ask Jan Fraser to be one of our speakers at our fall retreat. We have a fall retreat coming up, which we'll announce details later, but it has three parts to it, and people can register for one part, two parts, or three parts, so that's up to you. And the first part of it, which begins on October 30th and goes until November 1, that's a Friday through Sunday, that's going to be Jan Fraser. She's going to be the only one that entire period of time. And so once she said yes to that, you know, that was the final nail into the idea that cracked open the idea, order this book and read it. So I have ordered the book, and after today's reading from Dolores, which I know you asked her to read, I'm really excited to crack open that book and read it. I know I love Jan Fraser's first book. I used to teach from her first book. So just thank you for everything, and that's it. I'll release the mic.
Thank you, Regina. Yeah. I have to say I love that book. I don't know. I guess I love all the books that I read. But I guess maybe they just kind of build up over time. So, but anyway, would anybody else like to share on this? But the name of the book, Jacqueline, is I don't know if it's the or it's just Freedom of Being at ease with what is. Anyway, I will keep my eye open on the right-hand side of the screen in case somebody decides they would like to share. But just, you know, it's just a wonderful... The thing is, the book will come when you're ready. And so, obviously, Dolores is ready to make a comment, too. Love to hear what you have to say, Dolores. I really would love to hear this. Here we go.
Good morning, everyone. Mic check. Okay, great.
Oh, The mic dropped, Dolores. We heard you right in the very, very beginning, but then it dropped. Please try again. Dolores, are you able to hear me? We heard you only for a few seconds, and then the mic dropped. Do you want to try again? Oh, it's not working? Okay, Barb, then the mic is yours.
I was going to say, Dolores, while you were reading, there were a couple of times where it buzzed really, really loud, so I was hoping you could finish the reading. Anyway, I see this as a classic book, but really what it's down to is I can read every book under the sun, and if I'm not ready to listen to what it's saying, then I'm not ready. again, I'm looking on the right screen side of the screen. If anybody would like to share, feel free to put your hand up. But maybe Dolores. Facebook messages came in to me. Maybe you can write on the screen anything you want to write, and I could be happy to read it. But, I remember when I first started looking at all of this work, this whole Course in Miracles path, I was reading Marianne Williamson, and that was amazing to me. And then I was reading A Course in Miracles, which I didn't understand very well. And then I went on to other things, and still looking at the Course, even now, these days. But, the gentle way for me is really helpful. Gentle way. I said this to Regina one time. I said, I like listening to you because you're a gentle teacher. And it's true. And Jan is like that, too. But at the same time, you can be the gentle teacher. You can also be the one that says, as Jan says, I go back to that section in here where she says, preparing the ground is having a steady, unflinching presence. It doesn't mean that we aren't focused. It doesn't mean that we're not vigilant. What it means is that we're in the thick of it, that we're allowing everything to be as it is, but we're watching. And this can be a gentle practice. The gentleness to me comes in the not judging myself. When the person, I see my personality come up sometimes and it goes, blah, 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 blah. And afterwards, my ego will say, well, why did you say that to that person? Why did you talk so much? Sharon has echoed comments that she observes about her ego observes about herself. Well, I talk too much. Well, it's one of the things my ego observes about me too, sometimes. And so that's the critic. For me, when I see that critic start to raise its head, I can look at that and say, okay, that's what happened. And guess what? My ego now is making a judgment of that. And I can just watch that. I don't have to believe it anymore. That's the thing. So, yeah. That's it, not believing the thoughts anymore. And that, to me, is a gentle way. It's the steady, unflinching presence. Not letting go. The more I do this, the more I watch. It's all that preparing the ground. The more I'm watching without trying to stop, the more I guess the more I have peace about whatever seems to happen. So it looks like Lynn would like to share, and so I'm going to let go of the mic. Thank you very much. Here we go.
Mic check. Can you hear me? Yes, great. Thank you, Barb, for a beautiful service this morning, and the reading was perfect. Just what I needed to hear as a reminder. I jumped on board with Vicki to create a revival here in South Florida. And a lot of things have come to join with me in promoting it, because they have in the past promoted events with Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson. Even though that I knew my girlfriend of 20 years is a very strong personality. So we had our first meeting of the three of us the other day, and within moments, you know, I could feel something rising in me that she was just doing what she does, and that is taking over, being in control, and me feeling less than. But I used the course. I just allowed it to be. I just said that I don't know what my own best interest is. I don't know where this is going to lead, where it's going, but it's all going to be perfect. So as the time evolved, I had those feelings. They came up. They receded. And then I went with the other person, this fellow, and we went to look at the location that I had in mind. And he liked it, and he liked the part that I liked most. So I thought, gee, this was going very well. And then as we were leaving, he got a phone call from my other friend, and she said that she was on the phone with another friend who had another idea about where to hold this revival. And so he said he was going down there, and he didn't ask me if I wanted to go, so I just let it go. And the next thing I know, my girlfriend called me and said, oh, yes, it sounds terrific. They've got everything. And meanwhile, I'm feeling all these feelings of less than, put down, my ideas were not good enough. But I've taken the weekend to really do the lessons, allow everything to be as it is. I know, excuse me, I know it's going to turn out to be beautiful. We're going to have a lot of people. We all see, you know, hundreds of people coming to this event. Rather than at the other place where I recommended, we probably wouldn't be able to have more than 150 to 200 people. So looks like we have somebody who is going to support it. And it's all good. It's really all good. It was just my mind and not knowing what is in my best interest to back down, be a support, and let them do what they do best. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for this wonderful sharing today. Everything you guys say every week seems to be just what's on top for me. So I love you all. Thank you for this time. I'm releasing the mic.
Thank you, Lynn. That's great. We just let it all be. I remember what it says in A Course in Miracles. I take the second place to gain the first. Really is that. It really is that. Anyway, we're at the end of our time this morning. I think we're just a little bit after the hour. I want to thank everyone for joining us this morning. Let it go. that song from Frozen, huh? I just wanted that one more reminder, because for the for the people who are between coughs, who are interested in the retreat, Regina's put in the room that there are going to be more retreats other than the one from October 30th through November 1st. It'll be all the way through November 1st through November 6th. Then Bentina Massaro will be November 6th to November 8th. And there's three retreats you can sign up for. So just to remind you, in the radio, if you're interested, go to awakening-together.org and go to the events section, and you can check all those out. When I'm not sure if everything's up there yet, but be on the lookout for that. So thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to turn this over. We have a 1 hour of, it's not announced yet, but keep your eyes open. It will be announced as soon as it can be for the retreats. I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn. We have 1 hour of, my understanding, 1 hour of just a lot of social stuff, and you can talk about what we talked about this morning or other things. And then I'll be on again another hour. And then I think after my hour, they're going to be talking, reading from Jan Fraser's new book. So what a great, yes, fellowship for the next hour, correct. So I'm going to let go of the mic and turn it over to Lynn. Thank you very much. And I will say one thing for this morning, that I chose this reading for me. I chose the reading for me to learn. That's why I chose it. It's always about how I can learn. And that's exactly why. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful Sunday.